When I began as a teacher many years ago, I remember the Judaic studies principal called me into a little room with a bunch of filing cabinets and said, I want to tell you, you have a bunch of students and you may want to learn a little bit about them before you actually begin in September. Why don't you take a little peek at these quote-unquote secret files? What's the point of you reinventing the wheel? You'll learn out which kids are good, which kids are major discipline problems in your class. Today I'd like to share with you my response. In the Haggadah, we have the Arba Banim, the four children. Chacham, Rasha, Tam, She'enu Yodei Lishol. A wise child, a brilliant kid. On the other side of the spectrum, you have this wicked child, corrupt in his ways. Then you have a simple child. And then finally, She'enu Yodei Lishol. Kid has any idea how to ask. Now, if it would come from four different parents, that would make sense. But here, it's the same parents. How is it possible that you can have such incredibly diverse and different children? Henry Ford, Yimach Shemo, once said a beautiful phrase. How come when I ask for a pair of hands, I get a human being as well? What an incredible statement that he said when it came to the automobile industry. When he would hire these employees, he would often say this. How come when I ask for a pair of hands, I get a whole human being as well? I believe when it comes to the Arba Banim, it's really one child. It's one person. But they have four different personalities. And very often, just like a box of chocolates, a teacher has absolutely no idea what they're going to get. One day the child may be perfect, the next day might be a little bit sick and therefore be moody, maybe shy another day, not say anything. Similar to the She'enu Yodei Lishol. Really, it's not four children. It's one. One child with four personalities. If we look at the word Echad, as it's repeated so often, Keneged Arba Banim Dibra Torah, Echad Chacham, Echad Rasha, Echad Tam, Echad She'enu Yodei Lishol. By each of the four times, the four children, it says the word Echad. The Gematria, the numerical value of Echad, Aleph, Chet, Dalet, is 13. And since it does say the word Echad four times, that would be 13 times 4, or 52. And we know that 52 is the exact Gematria, numerical value of Ben, son. It's not Arba Banim. It's only Echad. It's one child. Some days that child may be the tzaddik, might be brilliant, maybe a chacham. Other days, he may be a rasha. It's the teacher's responsibility to be able to tap into the chacham and to be able to, at all costs, avoid the negativity that the child possibly has with inside themselves. To tap into the pintle yid, the spark found in every single child. For every child has the potential of being a chacham. It says in Parshas Toldos, the story of Esav, that when Avraham died, he died 5 years early. And there his grandson was Yaakov, V'yazid Yaakov Nazid, making this lentil soup, which of course Esav comes from the field, V'ayef, and is exhausted. Commentators explain for murdering people. Avraham Avinu died 5 years earlier than he was supposed to. Says Rashi, the reason why Avraham perished and died at an earlier age is so that he would not have to witness Esav, his grandson, Tarvasra, becoming wicked. which is most unbelievable. Because after all, the Torah does say that when Rivka had twins in her womb, the Srotzitsu Habana Mikirba, and there was fighting and quarreling within, that every single time she would pass a Beit Midrash, a Beit Achneset, Yaakov had the inner desire to want to serve God, wished to leave his mother. On the other hand, whenever she would pass a house of idols, of Avodah Zarah, Esav would begin kicking furiously, for he in fact wished to be an Oybed Avodah Zarah. Why then do we say that Avraham died 5 years early, when Esav was an adolescent? After all, Esav was wicked to the core, even before he was born. In utero, he was a Rasha. I believe the message is that Esav only became Esav, or Edom, as we find him becoming and called red, not when he was born, although he was red, but it was at that moment that he completely turned Latarvos Ra, at the moment that Avraham died, but not a moment before. Even an Esav, a child who is prone to idol worship, to corruption, to sin, that child, as a child, with the proper resources, the proper love and nourishment, can become righteous. But it's our job to tap into the Chacham, to tap into the Tzaddik. One of the most difficult gematriot, which is constantly floating around in the Haggadah, that everyone snickers at, bothers me very much. The word Rasha has a numerical value of 570. And we tell the Rasha, V'af ato hakeh shinav, we blunt or knock out his teeth. And shinav, teeth, is an additional 366. Says the Olam, that if we remove the shinav, the 366, from the Rasha, from the 570, we're left with the number of 204. And of course, 204, Tzadi Dalad Yud Kuf, equals exactly Tzadik. This makes absolutely no sense. We don't believe in corporal punishment. It's the year 2006, after all. Why would punching a Rasha in the face, why would that cause that child to become a Tzadik? His teeth are going to fall out. So now all of a sudden he's going to be a good person? He's going to despise you. He's going to resent you for you being a violent man. And he's going to completely rebel against serving Hashem. What exactly does this mean? And I believe a possibility to stay true to this gematria is that it really must have some significance. And that is, by removing the shinav, does not mean hitting the child. Doesn't mean breaking his teeth and he'll have to go to the dentist during Chol HaMoed. But it means silencing him. Telling him, I know that you have lots of questions, but at this time, I don't think your line of questions are appropriate. I think it's better, Hakeshina, why don't you do a little bit more listening? Tap into that tzaddik and speak directly to that child. And by closing his shina of his teeth, you then have the potential of allowing that child to become a tzaddik, becoming righteous. This could be further understood based on the following story about a father and his four sons. At his father's command, the eldest made a winter journey to see a mango tree. During the spring, he sent the next eldest son on the same errand. Summer followed, and the third son went. When the youngest boy had returned from his autumn visit, the father called his sons together, and he said, "Describe the tree," the father told them. "It looked like a burnt stump," said the first son. "It is lovely in lacy green," disagreed the second. "Its blossoms," declared the third, "were as beautiful as the rose." And the fourth son said, "No, you are all wrong. Its fruit was like a pear. The father said to his four children, "Each one of you is right, for each of you saw it in a different season." The message of the story is that we must wait until we see the tree in all of its seasons. We say the reason for the name of this book, Haggadah, is V'higadata Levincha B'yom Hahu, that you shall tell the story of the Exodus to your son. It doesn't say to your Arbabanim, but V'higadata Levincha. Because we are just like that mango tree, with multiple personalities and characteristics. It's just our goal and our job as teachers and as parents to discover the tzaddik within our children, within our students, and also within ourselves. The Haggadah gives each child a different answer to their question. We often say, Chanoch lenar al pi darko, that we must educate a child according to their way. And this is exactly what the Haggadah teaches us. Based on their questioning, it's not one size fits all. We must give them an answer which they can appreciate, which they can relate to. And of course, in the chinuch world, Chanoch lenar al pi darko is often overquoted. But to me, I appreciate the end of that pasuk even more. Gam ki yaskin lo yosim imenu. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. Showing that you care. Showing that you have an interest in what they have to say. And responding directly to their needs will make all the difference in their future. Going back to those secret files, I must tell you that I did not condemn my students. I did not look at those secret files. I didn't let my students' past determine their future. I believed in my students. Good Yom Tov.